Hello everyone, my name is Chloe Atkins and on today's audio feature I'll be discussing the importance of visibility and inclusivity within football here in England. Today I have two very special guests, one of whose voice you may even recognize. Both of these guests work in the football industry themselves and have kindly shared their experience being a woman and working in football, especially the men's game. As 2022 draws to a close, it's important to reflect the successes that this year has provided for women in football. From the Lionesses bringing it home to setting a European record attendance at Wembley Stadium, even ITV having its first all-female panel at a Men's World Cup, there is a lot to celebrate. Despite these many successes, not everyone is fortunate enough to feel included in football. Sports, and football in particular, is a male-dominated industry, but the experience of those involved can widely differ, which will be highlighted here today. My first guest has transitioned from a high-performance athlete herself to a strength and conditioning coach. Rachel Hill has spent the past 3 years at National Leagues and Wealdstone alongside rugby club Wasps FC. As a female in a highly visible role around the club and on the pitch, she sometimes finds herself as the only woman staff member present pitch side.
On match days, when I'm sitting on the bench, I think I feel like anyone else within the staff, within the team that's sitting on that bench alongside me. I don't think it's necessarily specific for me being a woman. I know that my staff very much feel the same. They very much see me as a member of the team, a member of the staff. I don't think they view it any differently because I'm a different gender to them. And so we all approach match day with the same mindset in terms of, you know, we've got our jobs to do, got our specific areas that we focus on within the game, and we're there to support each other. And it's just about focusing on the game. When you're on the bench, you don't think about anything else but what's going on in front of you.
As we witness an increase of females working and partaking in football, having visible role models such as Rachel can be extremely inspiring for future generations who are starting to make their first football memories. With this being said, often girls who dream of chasing a career in sport are met with negative perceptions, deterring words, and stories of hardship, scaring them away from what could be their dream industry. But it's important to remember that not every woman working in sports has had a negative experience.
My first-hand experience regarding the representation of women in men's football is an extremely positive one. I don't feel that there's any restrictions on gender when it comes to job role. And there's definitely equal opportunity for both men and women to go for the roles. It's just about who is the right fit and who's got the most experience, the most knowledge, who can give the best for that team. And if women wanted to work in men's football, it's just a case of applying for the role. And if you're the right person for the role, irrespective of your gender, then you'll get it. I've not come up against an interview situation or an application situation where my gender has been the issue. It is purely down to, do I have the right education for that role? Have I got the right experience? And that is simply it.
Rachel's role as a strength and conditioning coach means she works closely with the management, coaching staff, and players. You can see Rachel running the players through their paces during activation and warm-up pre-match. You may also be lucky enough to see a few dance moves if the right tunes are playing. A notable point I've found is that when discussing with women in the sports industry, there's a general feeling of pressure to act or behave in a certain way.
As a coach, I would say authenticity is really important. I think if you're not true to yourself, then players will see right through that. So it is important in that sense. As for having to act differently, I think the players will probably concur with me by saying I'm tough enough as it is. That's just within my character, but I always remain true to myself. I wouldn't say I'm any less authentic. And in regards to being taken seriously and gaining respect in my experience, I would say that comes down to you taking your job seriously and you respecting your role and having the right knowledge within your role and knowing what you're speaking about and having the confidence to execute what you're delivering to your players. I think if you've got those things, then being taken seriously and respected, you know, you earn that very naturally and there's no need to force that situation.
In contrast to Rachel and her experiences, our next guest is a familiar face in sports media, which presents a completely different set of challenges, including how to get into sports broadcasting. A voice you may have heard before in Premier League interviews, commentating on tennis, or the face of presenting at Chelsea Women FC, Anne-Marie Batson.
My experience as a woman trying to break into sports media has been challenging, fun, engaging, tough, and the best thing I've probably ever done, to be honest with you. Despite all those things, there are definitely highs and there are definitely a lot of lows, but I wouldn't swap it for the world. There were two things that I was conscious of actually with this. The first thing is, yes, I am a woman. I identify as a woman, and I also identify as a black woman. And I was very conscious of those things. And thankfully, I have colleagues and friends who are in the industry far longer than me, who would have a very good bank of knowledge and experience of how to deal with certain things and to be ready to deal with those things, to deal with the fact that I'm a woman coming into a space primarily dominated by men, but also that I'm a different skin colour to the majority of the British public.
As a presenter and working in the media, you open yourself up to criticism by putting your name, face, and opinions in the public domain. With that being said, opening yourself up to criticism does not provide a green light for abuse. With social media usage at an all-time high, players and media alike have become a target of an array of online abuse, especially for those women working within men's football.
For me, I'm a prolific social media user, and I'm fully aware of the nastiness that social media can bring into someone's life. I have had comments of a racial nature, surprise, surprise. My thinking is nobody has any right to tell me how to live my life. And part of living my life is doing a job that I'm very lucky to do, have worked very hard for, and I'm not going anywhere. I've worked too hard to let someone's issues, in inverted commas, affect me and my daily life. And I have had, you know, the comments of, you know, get back in the kitchen, you know, and stronger language about my colour. I deserve to be here, and I'm not going to defend my right to work in football or tennis or anything else. I just believe that I do what I love so much. No one can say anything to me. It's like I'm Teflon or something. They hear, you know, I've been called the N word, the B, the black word, the whole caboodle. And I'm still here. Comments I care about truly is from the people that I work with, my peers and my family and my close friends. Anybody else, I couldn't give a stuff.
Online abuse goes much farther than just direct tweets and messages, but also to ignorant comments trying to put down others based on things such as gender, race, and even ethnicity. Football still has a long way to come, and despite not being fully there yet, a lot of people are taking the step in a more inclusive and the right direction. A prime example of this positive step forward is the pioneering all-female panel that ITV had for the Saudi Arabia vs. Poland clash back in November. But despite this great step forward, following the match, online trolls did not shy away from sexist remarks.
I'm not surprised about the backlash and negativity. You can pretty much predict it's going to happen any time there is a suggestion there's going to be an all-female panel, or as we saw in the Germany-Costa Rica game, having an all-female lineup for referees. Of course, there's going to be howls of derision, but who cares? It is the sign of the times. There is absolutely no reason why we cannot see Seema Jaswal, who is a fantastic presenter, and Eni Aluko and Karen Carney, very good pundits, talking about the game that they love and presenting the game that they love. There shouldn't be anybody on this planet who has the right to tell someone who they should be and what they can do. And this idea that football is just one game for a particular group is no longer valid. If I could just talk about my other sport that I work in, which is tennis. No one bats an eyelid when there is a female commentator and a female co-commentator talking on a men's match. There is not these howls of, you know, they shouldn't be doing that, etc., etc. on social media. Nobody talks about it.
As briefly addressed at the end, the biggest question is why? Why are some football fans seemingly against people of different genders and backgrounds working within the beautiful game? There are many assumptions that can be made, but ultimately, it's a question we may never get the answer to. Even though football is regarded to as a wonderful game, there are still areas we are currently working on. I think both of our guests today had admirable journeys into sport and proved that no two experiences will ever be the same. As a football community, we must continue to come together to ensure everyone has positive experiences like Rachel, and we collectively push for visible role models for future generations, stamping out any stereotypes of gender, race, or ethnicity. I would like to end this off by thanking our guest speakers for being so open and honest about their personal experience being a woman in men's football. It's been very insightful, and I hope it encourages other women to get involved and follow their passion and dreams. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we hope to see you next time.